This.
Hey, how you doing? What are you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
Is Felger and Mads.
What?
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
I assume something's going to come down today on Kadri, and we're going to have that video from the Department of Player Safety, and we'll give it all to you as soon as it breaks. You'll hear it here first. Kadri's got to get something. Got to get something. Bruins have a case on this one. A lot of the ones earlier on in the year, I don't think that they did, but this one, they do. This one, they do. So we continue on Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by Planet Fitness. Your thoughts on everything. Joe in West Roxbury on that hit. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. How's it going? The player that hit Wingles, I don't think he will get more than one game just because it's the playoffs, although I think he deserves it. But the guys I really feel bad for are the players on Toronto that have to go home and explain to their wives and girlfriends that, no, babe, the hickey on my neck was from Marchand. I wasn't cheating on you, I swear.
Sure it was. Yeah, no, another guy licked me on the ice during the game. Right. Right. Sure they did.
So this is a good, just a big point, though, for Marchand. Don't use your teeth. Because then I think you cross into penalty zone. Like, I think you could get 2 minutes for biting.
So the only reason I think, Kadri, if he doesn't get two, it's because he was thrown out of the game, which they factor in. But it was the third period. The game was over at that point. So I don't think they should factor it in. To me, I said three right when I saw it. Because the Drew Doughty, he had got one, and that wasn't even close to this. So it's you factor into the fact that it's the playoffs, so you're going to give him a little less than you would in the regular season. But then you also have to factor in what you just did in the postseason was give Doughty a game for something that was, I thought, borderline. And, he also has a history. I think he's been fined and suspended four times. None in the last 2 years, but he, in his previous life, he sort of cleaned it up. Kadri's cleaned it up in the last couple of years, but prior to that, he was a Marchand kind of player.
I tell you, if I'm Babcock, I'm pissed at this. I am pissed. Like, it's bad enough that we got to go out and lay an egg, at least for a good chunk of the game anyway, and then you're going to do something stupid at the end and cost us one of our best players, too? What an idiot.
Jim in Arlington, go.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. One quick point before I get into Marshawn and Kadri. I can't believe what a difference Rick Nash makes for that team. I think he just solidifies the second line. And
size.
I think it was just extremely noticeable in that game last night. But with that being said, Kadri, dirtbag hit, no question. I think he should get at least two games, probably more if it was regular season. I'm just kind of nervous about the bigger microscope that's going to be on Marchand because of that. Obviously, Toronto's looking at Marchand, everything he does. Now you throw in this hit. I mean, Felger, you know how playoffs go. Everything tries to get evened out a little bit.
No question.
I mean, I think Marchand's just going to keep his head on a swivel and be vigilant and realize he's got to play that edge. But I'm just nervous that this is going to open up a can of worms.
It's fair. I mean, I think everyone's going to try and, Toronto tried, and they should try. Agitate Marchand and try and get him to do what Kadri did, because Marchand will. You push him enough, you push his button enough, he'll overreact. So it's incumbent on Marchand to stay on that side of the line.
Yeah, and look, this to me gets back to like just me trying to maintain control of the series from a scoreboard perspective. Because as long as you're in front and you're controlling a series, you won't get as frustrated. Marchand was dynamite last night. He really was. He was good.
We continue on an Agenda Free Friday. John in Maine on the report from Murray here at the top of the hour that David Price's next start has been pushed back one day so it could come in Anaheim in warmer weather. That's really what Alex Cora just said. Go ahead, John in Maine. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, so what my thing is, I'd rather be lied to and say it was for cautionary reasons than say it's just for weather. Like, what if the next guy David's right, boss. It is cold out.
No, I mean, you're right.
The Price gets a day off. Why can't everybody else? It's cold.
That little detail that they're pushing him back a day because they want him to pitch in warm weather.
It's unbelievable.
Is so bad that that's one the caller's right. They should just go ahead and lie on that.
So this is written by Scott Lauber of ESPN Boston. So until I actually hear the sound from Alex Cora, I'm going to assume it's from Cora because he writes it as follows, verbatim. According to manager Alex Cora, David Price will start Tuesday night in Anaheim, which gives him one additional day and a chance to pitch in warmer weather. So I don't know if he's editorializing there. It reads as if Cora said that. So I have to believe Cora said that. That's so horrible.
Well, Murray, the most alarming part of the whole thing, obviously, is because it comes back to October. So once they get into summer, he starts pitching better. Then the weather gets cold. Do you have to relive this thing again?
No, I'm ashamed of myself for actually feeling like this was something legit in terms of an injury. I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt because of how good he looked these first couple of games and going back to last postseason. But instead,
I mean,
it's cold.
I don't like to pitch in the cold. I can't feel anything.
It, blows me away that you can have a $31 million pitcher who can't pitch in cold weather.
Nope, I hold him out till California.
That's ridiculous.
Great, isn't it?
I mean, so him. I guess you got to hope you play a West Coast team or a dome team in the playoffs, or, you know, someone down south.
David Wellesley on the Bees, go.
Anthony, you still have Toronto?
Am I still with Toronto?
Are you picked Toronto to win the series? You still with them?
Yeah, I thought you said, I couldn't tell if you said I was with or in. And what I would tell you is I'm not changing my mind based on game one.
Michael, was that game really could have gone other way? I mean, I know sports radio and all the, you know, blowouts are not conducive to you guys doing your thing, but it was 5-1. Like, what the hell are you talking about? It was a blowout. They had 3 power play goals. It was close.
I think it could have gone either way, Div.
Michael, how could it have gone either way when the end score was 5-1? I understand maybe 3-2, 4-3, 2-1. It was 5-1.
I agree with Bruce.
How could it conceivably go either way?
I agree with Bruce Cassidy, the coach of the Bruins, who said after the game that...
That's a cop-out.
How's that a cop-out? I'm just telling you that Cassidy said the same thing. I think he nailed the analysis of the game, that if Toronto was just a little finer down by the net, they get a bounce of the puck, they're up 2-1, 3-1, it's a whole different game. I think it easily could have gone that way. Easily.
Michael, this is why you, the most prominent sports reporter that covers the team, that carries the games in Boston, is the voice of their pump-up commercial. Because you can't even say that game was a blowout.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. They can use our material as much as they want. And I'm sorry it upsets you to think that it could have gone the either way, but I think that game could have gone the other way. Jim Murray, do you think that game could have gone either way?
Yeah. Look at the second period, where for most of it, until the last couple of minutes of the period, the Bruins were in their own end and couldn't get the hell out of it. And they're getting penalty after penalty. Now, you even want to complain about some of the refs in that game in that second period? I'm with you. There were some chintzy calls. But thanks to their penalty kill, you know, they were able to fight them off and fight them off. I don't know if that's going to keep working for them this series. You're living dangerously if you think you're going to be able to get away with that.
I just thank God they have a coach that is able to tell it like it is. If the fans can't accept it, you want to hear Bruce Cassidy again?
Why was that guy so whiny? It's okay to say it was a hell of a win. But in the third period, especially late in the third period, Toronto had essentially checked out. So that's why you end up with the score that you end up with.
You got Bruce Cassidy for me there, Jimmy?
We got some breaks around the net. Looked like there were some pucks there that could have went either way. I know Adam McQuaid saved one and a couple of good sticks there, and Tuukka some big saves. So we got through it. And then our power play, you know, we had a real good entry, and Marshy made a good play. We had a lot of speed on the entry, and that's what you need against this kill. And then Crutch made a good low play, and we finished around the net. And that ends up being a little bit of the difference. We finished one, they didn't. So it goes the other way. You don't know how the end's going to be. But from there, I thought we were a good team, played the right way, and, you know, we're able to bring it home.
I think he nailed it. We got some breaks around the net. They could have, we got some breaks around the net. Some could have gone either way. I mean, he said it, quote unquote, we finished one down low. They didn't. And I think that's exactly what happened. I'm not taking it away from you. I mean, I just think this is an evenly matched series, and I think it's going to be a long series. And if it's, I hope it's not. I hope the Bruins sweep. I'm just telling you, I think last night could have gone either way. We've got Patrick in New Hampshire on the brawl the other night between the Red Sox and Yankees. Go ahead, Pat.
Yes. I think that there's Austin Tyler Austin, whatever the hell his name is. I think he's the first or in the first wave of millennials to come up where everybody gets a trophy and whatever they do is just fine. And if he didn't expect to get hit by a pitch at his next at bat, he's just a moron.
So I think he's that. I don't think he's a millennial. I wouldn't blame the millennial condition on him. I would blame the meathead condition on him.
Oh, there's no question. See, I think he did know. He did know, and he, for whatever reason, he said it the way he did because he wanted to make the Red Sox look like a-holes. And to me, he had to know. And if he didn't, someone told him before he went up the next time. Hey, watch it. Watch it. There's no way. What are you telling me? Every guy in a Yankee uniform didn't know there was a chance he was going to get drilled? So of course they knew. They knew it was coming. They just tried to make the Red Sox look bad. And the reality is that Austin, to me, was the one guy who consistently did something wrong in that game.
His reaction to Brock Holt saying something to him is what started the entire thing. Because he spiked him. It wasn't the worst thing we've ever seen, but he spiked him. And Brock Holt simply turns to him and says, "What's up with that?" Like, something like that. That's all. Like, what was that? And from there, it's like, "Oh, you want to go, bro?" You know, he starts doing the thing, and that's why the benches had to empty. The Yankees knew that their broheem Dinkus is out there huffing and puffing, so that's why they had to come out. And the Reds, and that's what started the whole thing. If Austin had just said, "My bad," or said, or just simply F you and ran back to the dugout, nothing happens.
Well, and again, he had to know he was going to get hit. Then he gets hit and charges the mound.
But first, slams his bat, makes a show, because he wants the catcher to catch him. And Vasquez is out to lunch and asleep and doesn't. But on top of it all, you know, Mr. Meathead didn't even want to fight, I don't think.
Oh, gosh, please. Again, he didn't do anything right in the whole thing. And he had to know he was going to get drilled. He had to. There's no way he could have been surprised by that.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Blend force trauma to run him right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Austin was that base runner at second base. Looked like he got a piece of Brock Holt. The bench is cleared after that. And that's why he gets drilled here. And he slams the bat. Now he's making a move. And here he comes on the run. And now fisticuffs as Kelly's being tackled and punches being thrown. The dugout's empty. Here come the bullpens again. And this time it's for real.
He spiked my leg, cut it pretty good. Yeah, I probably said something I probably shouldn't have to start it off, but I just wanted him to know that it was a bad slide, and I think he knows that now.
No, I felt like my slide into second base was a clean slide, and I play the game hard. So, but yeah, I thought there was absolutely nothing wrong with that slide, and I had no thought that they were going to throw at me.
Aaron, did you watch the slide again? And you didn't think he went in too hard or went in at Holt?
No. You know, because he came off the base, you know, there could have been an issue from a replay standpoint based on the rules. But no, you know, sometimes in your slide, it carries you. And I don't know if there's any carryover from all the Machado stuff last year and they're going to handle things a certain way. But, I mean, that was pretty innocuous, if you ask me.
Well, the only thing is, you know, Hanley got hit early in that game last night. And I think most people say, you know, it didn't look intentional. Are you convinced it wasn't?
I don't think that was. He was over the plate.
Okay, so look.
There were two plays exactly the same. Stanton got sort of grazed, right? And Hanley got grazed on the same thing. Like, I don't know. I think it was about their stance.
Maybe. I mean, Hanley definitely is leaning over. I always wonder about those balls that run in. That's all. I mean, because I think you can make it look good if you have a ball that runs in. And you can throw it up and in. And you say, if it runs in and hits him, no big deal. Like, you know, so I think there's a reason, you know, you don't want that stuff to escalate. So I know why warnings are issued. But I always wonder. I do. I always wonder. I think they hide it well sometimes.
Well, so, I mean, you would know better than me. Just my takeaway is that, you know, I thought, well, if you were the Yankees, you were hoping that would be some sort of springboard, some sort of wake-up call, some sort of something, and you pointed it out. They sucked as bad as ever last night.
Oh, they were brutal, really, again. I mean, it's like, you know, you're down 6-0 early. It's a cold, crappy, rainy night on top of it. They're throwing, you know, they're missing fly balls in left field, as Stanton did. They're throwing balls to one hop from the infield grass.
Oh, yeah, that's brutal.
On that play by Wade, which is an absolutely brutal play. You know, and Rick Porcello shuts you down. Now, look, Porcello pitched a good game. I'm not trying to dump on him. But he's a guy you should be able to score on. Like, you look like you're coming out of it, and then you just go right back into the funk.
So, I mean, the caller before, Cam says, is Aaron Boone in trouble? If I'm a Yankee fan, I wish he were. He should be.
It's just too early. I mean, they're going to hire the guy and then fire him a dozen games?
But, I mean, I don't know. You tell me. When you look in his eyes, what do you see? Do you see a leader of men?
No, I told you. That team, to me, needs a guy who's got a pulse, and he doesn't have a pulse.
So when do you stop saying it's too early?
Yeah. When can we schedule the Yankee elimination party?
Memorial Day. Typically 2 months. You got to give them 2 months. I mean, like, you know, and if it's really bad, then see you later.
Because that, to me, last night was stunning. I figured after that fight, it looked like, all right, this is going to galvanize them. Finally, they have an identity. I'm fighting for my brother here. They're going to be, all right, the Red Sox almost did them a favor. They awoke the beast that there was the Yankees. And they come out and lay a wet fart like that. Like, it's a mess. So at some point, I mean, I don't know, Maz, if it looks like this for the next couple of weeks, pull the plug.
Hey, listen, I'm not telling you that it's
You have an easy out. We hired a broadcaster.
Okay, but again,
he's in over his head.
So, right. But that's the problem. Is Brian Cashman all of a sudden going to go, well, I hired this guy, I believe in him, and now 20 games in or less, whatever the number is, I'm going to pull the plug on him?
What if he didn't hire him?
If the owner did?
Yeah, what if it was Hal?
In which case, he's definitely not going anywhere.
Oh, what if Cashman just, you know, appeals to him? Says, You got it wrong, man. You got it wrong. It's obvious. We can all see it.
I don't see it. I don't see it.
No, I mean, neither do I, but I think the guy is completely out of his element. I do. I'm sorry. I do.
I mean, that team's asleep. They are. They're asleep.
All right, back to your phones here on Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by Planet Fitness. Luke in Vermont has a Celtics thought. Go ahead, Luke.
So, we talk about, you guys have moved the goalpost so far on Brad Stevens.
No. Let me just, I'm sorry. The owner came in and said he'd rather have the coach than the superstar. I'm not moving any goalposts. That's what he said, and you all endorsed it.
I didn't endorse Brad Stevens over a top 10 player. I never said that. But you, Felger, and Matt, originally, when Brad Stevens showed up, a coach was zero. And then he could get you some wins. And then he could make a difference in the regular season. Now he can make a difference in the first round of the playoffs. No coach in any sport wins without top-end talent as far as a championship goes. The other day you said the air came out of the balloon with Kyrie Irving went down. The air came out of the balloon when Brady went down. Of course, if you lose your best player, you're not winning a championship in any sport except maybe hockey or baseball. Whatever. But you guys have moved the goalposts. We're about to see the Celtics go into the playoffs with their supporting cast and their head coach, and we're talking about them going to the Eastern Conference.
Okay, but we never said the coach was a zero. I don't know.
You guys used to say that. You did.
That a coach is a zero? Okay, well, that's
pretty
an overstatement.
In the NBA,
that's an overstatement. In the NBA, it's really not that important. Who would you rather have over the next 4 weeks, Luke? Kyrie Irving or Brad Stevens?
Obviously, I would rather have Kyrie Irving in the next 4 weeks, but you just said the Bucks will not win because they have no culture, they have no coaching, they have no winning. If you gave Brad Stevens the Bucks roster, they're in the NBA Finals in the East, Felger.
Okay, maybe
I don't know about that.
But let me tell you this. If I took away Brad Stevens but gave you back a healthy Kyrie Irving, you're going to the East Finals or the NBA Finals, regardless of who your coach is.
Yeah, but you got to look at it over the long term, not in a series. Brad Stevens' effect is over years and months, in a snapshot.
Luke, don't overrate the coach. Now I'm getting pissed off about it because this is what it becomes. If you want to take two teams that are middling, sure, the coach can make a difference. But even if the Bucks had Brad Stevens, Antetokounmpo's not there yet either. The Freak's not there yet either. He's not quite ready yet. They're not going to win it.
But, Maz, you always say it comes down to the best player. The Bucks have the best player. They're not going to win it. The Celtics coaching is so good. Their supporting cast is so good. When they add two top 20 players, Kyrie's 5-10, Gordon Hayward 10-20. When they add them at the end of this year, they're going to be a title contender with not a top five player on their roster because of the supporting cast and their coaching. You need all of it.
Well, let's see.
LeBron James.
Luke, let's see that then. When that happens, then that'll happen. Okay, that hasn't happened yet. In the meantime, your snappy coach there, who I like and is a good coach, will get you by the 7-seeded, dumbass, middling Milwaukee Bucks. Congratulations. Let's build the statue right next to Red in Quincy Market because you're going to beat the 7-seeded Bucks.
See, so like I look at that and say, is that more about good coaching or bad coaching?
Thank you.
Like if you have talent in that league and you can't win, then something's wrong.
Correct. Jason Kidd into this Fenefesi, whoever the new coach is down there.
I mean, so that to me is where the problem lies. And then more often than not, even if you're a bad coach and you have great talent, you usually win. In that league, you often do.
Ryan in New Hampshire on the Red Sox. Hi, Ryan.
Hi.
Hi.
I just want to throw out maybe a little conspiracy theory on the whole David Price thing and Cora telling it why he pushed his start back.
Yes, go ahead.
Maybe he to put David Price on blast, you know, just to say, all right, we'll push you back to the warmer weather phase, just to kind of say, this sounds stupid. This is stupid, but we'll do it that way.
So you're saying Cora did it intentionally to make him look bad, to put him on notice?
No way.
I don't feel that.
Not yet. I mean, he doesn't have enough ill will built toward him to do that.
But like, it does make him look bad, man.
Oh, totally does. I find it really, I still think there's something there that we don't know about. I find this hard to believe. And maybe it is, and it's just so hard to believe that it's real. You follow me?
Yeah.
It's cold, he gets tingling, and he couldn't pitch as a result of it, so now we got to hold him out for warm weather? If that's the case, you got to trade him. You got to send him to Texas or something. You got to send him somewhere where it's warm all the time.
People have been saying that for a while, Mess.
It just really, you're going to be playing in October. That's the goal. and this guy can't pitch because it's cold? Well, then what the hell are we doing here?
Felger and Maz.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Far circle now, Heinen. High slot, McAvoy. Near circle now, Krejci. Centers, fought for, they score! David Backes shook off a check, threw Hainsey inside, and then powered one home. A goal on the man advantage for the Boston Bruins, who have taken a 2-1 lead.
The rock band doesn't put the encore first because you throw your voice out, Murray. You got to save that to the end of the show because...
Right, they go deep. Yeah, so it's going to sound like this.
Pace yourself, Judd. Pace it, baby.
Boy, did he pick the right year to join the Bruins.
Remember what he said in his first interview here?
Oh, my God.
He's going to end up making the show, especially you, Mike, looking like crap.
I don't give him credit for that. He has to say it. Team broadcaster came in here. We interviewed him the day he got the job, like in September or whatever, right? Before the season started. What do you expect from this team? Well, I don't see any reason why they can't win a Stanley Cup.
It was preposterous.
Like, give me a break.
Why don't the Bruins make a commercial out of that?
I'm sure they would.
Good point, Jimmy. Yeah, the only because they're negative. That's why
your Celtics commercial is coming soon, Tony. I'm told.
Surratt's a good soldier, but yeah, I mean, we'll see. Like, don't act like they're out of the woods here. Again, I think that game one could have gone either way, and I expect to be I expect Toronto to be a little finer around the net offensively. I expect them to finish some of those chances they had the other night. I can't guarantee they're going to be any better in front of their net. Like that goal you just played, Jimmy, the Hainsey goal where Backes got inside of Hainsey. Like, I think that's sort of, I think Toronto's stuck with that. Not going to change.
That's bad defense. That is. You know what I wanted to ask you, too, about that game was on the first goal, on Marchand's goal, that where Krug made the pass, would you have challenged?
Well, you know what? Interestingly enough, let's just do this. Mike in Salisbury, would you have challenged?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I with the Bruins starting so slowly, I don't know. I don't see why they wouldn't have challenged that. It would have taken the crowd out of it. I think it was offside.
You mean with Toronto starting so slowly?
No, with the Bruins lately. Why not take that momentum right out of their hands and challenge that goal?
Okay, the Bruins came out really strong.
I see what he's saying, though, that the Bruins had been starting slowly, so why not, you know?
So, I think it was onsides. It looked offsides. It definitely looked offsides. But when I saw it, I mean, I think Bergeron dragged his skate and kept it on the ice. Like, I think guys have gotten really good about knowing they can't have their skate off the ice because of this fracocta stupid rule. They make a point to really scrape their toe and drag their so it looked offsides, but I don't know if it was. But this again is this deterrent now. If you challenge and lose, it's another 2 minutes.
Don't you love that?
So I think there's a real deterrent there. So you've got 55 minutes to go or whatever it is in the game. It's just the first goal. If you lose a challenge, you not only have no more challenges left for the entire game, you go on another 2 minute. The building's up. It's like there's a risk-reward there. What was the regular season game where it was Paul Maurice in Winnipeg, wasn't it?
Right. Yes, that's right. Yeah,
so,
that's right.
And it cost him it cost him a point, I think, in that game. So, you know, that's where that delay game call on a lost challenge is a good rule.
Oh, I love that rule. Please, that rule's like the best thing they've done in a long time. And so initially I looked at it and said, it's the playoffs. You got to challenge out. Right out of the gate in game one, then I sort of thought about it, and I think Babcock played it right. I mean, at the end of the day, it was 1-1 at the end of the first period. So it really didn't hurt them. They came back and neutralized it. You know, and they go into the second period, and it's a 1-1 game. I mean, it really didn't hurt them.
It was just a long way to go, and that, I mean, I don't know, I don't think it would have been overturned. But again, those, it's so hard to predict those, right? Like, you can't tell what's coming on.
I'll tell you, though, I love that rule, that if it's not clear, you can't challenge. Like, that's really what it should be.
It's a time saver there. Sully in Boston. Go ahead, Sully. Sully! Hello, you're on the air.
Listen, do me a favor, don't cut me off. Maz, can I ask you a question?
Any, you can ask me anything you want, buddy.
Okay, listen, why is it that you got a bad habit of every time either the Bruins or the Patriots are going into the playoffs, you start, oh, wow, they ain't going nowhere. They ain't going to do nothing. Maybe you and Felger need to go back and watch the Bruins game. Because both years look like you should work for the Toronto Sports. I'll give him a pass. But you, Maz, you are a Boston hater. Go to Toronto and work in the sports department. You hate every time we get close to the playoffs or Brady has a bad game or Marshawn was a cheap shot. All you do every time, you I swear you grew up in New York or somewhere.
No,
what do you get to say?
So, Sully, honestly, I can't blame you. It does come off that way.
Where did you grow up, just to set the record straight?
I grew up in Watertown and Waltham. Yeah, I moved when I was 13. It was a long trip, let me tell you.
From Watertown to Waltham?
Oh, yeah,
did
a hike.
Did you walk?
Yeah, no, we moved. Yeah, we moved. I could have walked. I rode my bike, for crying out loud. I could have done that. But look, I resent the notion that I always pick against the Patriots, however. I didn't pick against them in the division round.
You just often do.
I didn't pick against them in the conference championship game. I'd pick against them in the Super Bowl, and I was right. Okay? Now, the other times... So sometimes I have a tendency to pick against the... I picked against the Red Sox. I was right. Sometimes I'm right. This Toronto team, let me see another game. Last night, I thought, especially late, boy, did they pack it in, huh?
Sure. Yep.
Wow, did they pack it in late in that game.
Game got out of hand. No doubt about it.
But I can understand why you would take that personally. I can.
But Sully calls it a bad habit. I love it. I would not call that a bad habit. Sean and Marlboro on Brad Marchand and his licking. How do you feel about it, Sean?
Hey, guys. So I have a feeling that the NHL competition committee is going to have an awkward conversation of coming up with some rule. And as a result of having to talk about licking and kissing and tongue contact internally and externally, they're going to legitimately just call it the Brad Marchand licking rule just to piss him off. And can you picture a room full of competition guys talking about NHL players licking each other?
Sure, and getting it into words. Like, how do you phrase? Like, how do you word that rule?
I mean, but so again,
let me ask you. Can I say something seriously?
Yeah.
Should there be a rule against it? Should that be unsportsmanlike conduct on Marchand for tonguing someone's neck?
No.
Should it be allowed for you to lick someone's neck?
Sure. Yeah, no.
I would agree with the caller. They're going to try to come up with something for this. Not during the playoffs, but I think going into next season.
What if he's trying to stick your tongue down his throat? So, I mean, like, I'm just saying this. I'm purposely being...
2 minutes for irritation.
Yeah, extreme.
Because you have to... there's got to be a line then,
yeah.
Right?
Okay,
you know, so there has to be...
unsportsmanlike conduct or something?
Yeah, so what's allowed and what's not? You have to define it. This is why we have rules. So what if Marchmont tries to stick his tongue down his throat?
Okay, so here's what I would do if I'm Komarov.
Tries to kiss him. Like, kiss him.
Oh, you kiss him back? That's
No. What if he does that?
So what are you going to do? Give a guy a penalty?
I'm saying.
I think...
Where would you draw the line?
So I think, worst case, it's fineable. Like, if you do something that you deem to be sort of in bad taste. Okay? Fineable. But... I don't think there's anything you could do.
I'm so much better with him licking the guy's neck than low bridging, clipping, elbowing him in the face, hits from behind, all these other things that Marchand has done that get himself suspended. And he's tried to hurt people. Like, this is so, like, do this. This is such a better middle ground. I can't even tell you.
I don't know what the right substance is. Murray, maybe you could help with this. The if I'm Komarov, put like Ben Gay or Icy Hot on your neck or something. The next time he comes over and he licks you.
Tiger Bomb.
Right. He's not going to like it all that much. Do something like that. I don't know what right substance or answer is.
No, but the answer, like, an old school hockey guy's looking at us and guys.
You punch him in the face.
You take the butt end of your stick and you jam it down his nose. He tries to do that again.
Right, except then Komarov ends up in the box.
You can't really do that anymore, can you?
No, you can't. I mean, it is kind of funny. I mean, so there is a point where you say, okay, that you can't do.
Okay, where's the line? All I'm telling you is, Marchand, do it, baby. Stick your tongue down his ear for all I care. It's such a better middle ground than the stuff you've been doing. If that's what it takes to get you to the place that you need to get to score, then fine. Whip out that tongue, baby. Tongue him all day long.
Put some sort of foreign substance on your neck, or the next time he licks you, grab his tongue and pull. See how that goes.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mass.
Far corner now, Marchand. Fired by Pastrnak. Didn't get a lot on it. Stick save Anderson. Marchand, around a check, Pastrnak, rips one, he scores! Brad Marchand, puck retrieval, right circle, escape the check, hit Pastrnak, tape the tape, and he wires it inside the near post! 3-1 Bruins!
It's not the Bruins I grew up with. Like, that's what sets this team apart.
Oh, stunning, right? Again, the skill level. From Marchand's play in the corner to be able to create the space to make the pass, and then Pastrnak... you know, just turning around and whipping that thing into the corner.
I mean, even when you won the Cup, even like 6-7 years ago when you won the Cup, you didn't have that kind of skill. You were more of a brute team. Krejci was your most skilled player. But, you know, he was with Lucic and Horton, you know. And Bergeron was really more of a defensive player, really, at that stage. And Chara was great, and your goaltending was great. But so the last time you won, I mean, to go back, so when I say the Bruins I grew up with, I was a little young for the early 70s Bruins. And I'm not comparing the skill level here to that. But just the skill level on this team, in my lifetime, I've never seen it like this.
No, they again, it sounds like an insult because it's not what we're accustomed to here. But they play sometimes almost more like a European team. You know, the cliche that is European hockey of like flying around, passing the puck, scoring goals, shooting it. Like, you know, they're not nearly as physical as they used to be, which is not to say they still can't throw their weight around a little bit. But I told you, I like it. It is, to me, it's refreshing. And if I felt that way during the regular season, like, wow, look at that. The Bruins can actually play hockey. It's not just about hitting someone over the head with a shovel and then, you know, scoring a goal. I'm not kidding.
The big bear. Don't poke the bear.
Like, that's stupid crap. Like, that's sort of over.
But look, if I'm going to be...
And believe me, I liked the big bad Bruins too, but you didn't really win anything when you were the big bad Bruins.
And if I'm going to be consistent, I think I said to you, you know, when they let Sagan go and they made the trade with Sagan, you know, Kessel, it felt like any time they had a skilled guy that wasn't just pounding away on an anvil, okay? Like,
you weren't a fit. They had to ship you off.
Right. Yeah. Like, heaven forbid that you actually could skate and had skill. Because the Bruins didn't want you if you did. And to me, it feels like Sweeney has changed that whole identity. Like, no. And Cassidy, for that matter. You know, no, we're going to skate. We're going to score. We're gonna play all kinds of hockey.
Well, but that goal, again, just bar down just about from the deep slot on that move that Marchand put on Kapanen in the corner is just...
How do you stop that?
Tremendous. And that is something the Bruins have in the toolbox that they, I just don't know, they've had very many times in their existence. Never mind recently. So, but also, you know, we're playing all the goal calls because these guys, you know, Surratt, man, got to pace yourself, Judd, buddy. Got to pace yourself. You know, it's possible you're going to play, you could play as many as 28 of these. You're not going to. It's going to be, but if you go where you want to go, it's going to be somewhere in the 20s. So just pacing, buddy, pacing. Edwards and Nesson only has one round, so he can really let it all hang out, which I believe I watched the NBC Sports. I watched Milbury last night, so I didn't hear much of this, but from what I gather, I think Jack lost it as well in a couple.
Chara to retrieve with Van Riemsdyk hunting the puck. Chara up the boards. Pastrnak behind Riley. Cuts to the goal. Off the pipe. And in! Sean Kerai bats it out of the air. And the Bruins lead the Leafs 4-1. Chara saw the break and feeds Toronto some of its own medicine without the spoonful of sugar.
All right. What is that? How is that? So is that feeding Toronto a bit of its own medicine because Toronto scored on a stretch pass earlier in the game?
Exactly, yeah.
So Jack had to atone for that.
Oh, yeah. They turned the tables. No, they turned the tables. The Bruins turned the tables. They did to the Leafs what the Leafs usually do to everyone else.
I'm not sure. Suck on that without any sugar.
I'm not sure I've ever heard that saying in my life.
Game one.
Yeah.
First round.
I was going to say. So I'm saying, pace yourself, boys. Rick in New Hampshire on that very goal. Go ahead, Rick. Rick, you're on the air. Rick.
Ricky. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Rick. I gave you every chance in the world there, buddy. Call us back. Tony and Shirley. Hi, Tony.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Good, man.
I waited the other day for an hour. It's not your fault. I would have stayed on. I had a doctor's appointment. Real quick, one of my thunder was taken about the refs. I'm going to give you two quick points and one quick other point. I'll be off in 30 seconds, Michael.
Go for
it. My phone's good. Anyways, the icing call. It didn't even cross the line. They call the icing on the Bruins. About 2 minutes later, it crossed the line and they wave it off. And that's my second point. Now, on Tuca, I believe it's fear within. When he's feeling it, when they made that block and save, that was a goal. He was definitely screwed. He didn't even see it. If Tuca feels it like he did, they're going to win. And my last quick point, Mike, guaranteed you watch. 3 or 4 minutes ago in Toronto, if we're up 2-0, you're going to give him a lousy penalty call against the Bruins. This will give Toronto another chance. I believe they're fighting the referees, too.
All right, well, let's not complain about the refs till they do something wrong. All right? Let's just wait. Wait for them to screw you before we get all bitchy about it.
The hooking on Krejci last
night. Yeah, the Krejci call.
That one was like, come on, what are you doing?
Okay, I thought the one you scored the Backus power play goal on, where they took down DeBrusque, was a weak call. I thought there were a couple weak calls both ways. I think officiating was a non-factor last night.
Okay.
The icing that he mentioned was an interesting play. You gave up the goal after they waved off an icing. McQuaid went back. I don't know, again, what they did on Nesson, but on NBC Sports Network, they gave a good showing of it. This was one of those that were just trickling to the end line, and McQuaid purposely held up, and they waved off the icing, and 30 seconds later is when Toronto scored on the stretch pass. So that's the only one I think he's complaining about. How about Tuukka? We haven't mentioned him yet.
He's good.
Yeah, good. Solid.
He was good.
Yep. I mean, you know, they had territorially an advantage for the majority of the game, but he was good.
I thought he battled. I thought he tried to fight through the traffic. I thought he tried to get through the wash, which is usually my big complaint with him, that he usually just gets in the butterfly and sits there and doesn't do enough to fight around screens or fight around traffic or fight for the puck or fight to the back. But, like, I think he did that last night. The biggest save of the night was McQuaid. So I think that was, you know, just good D on the back post there. But I think Tuukka, I just think he looked good. I think he looked strong. I think he was engaged, and I think he fought, which is all I ask of him.
You know what was enraging to me, though? Frederik Andersen's cocky glove saves. Until it really got broken open, those first couple of periods, snap. Snap. The whistle will go to the commercial break. Snap. Oh, it was real. I was like, this MF-er. And then finally, you know, I'm glad it worked out for him, obviously, the way that it did. But if it ended up like that, or I have to see much more of that during this series, this is going to be public enemy number one. Frederik Andersen and his stupid cocky gloves. Snap. Oh, snap. I didn't like that.
I like it. Don't
just need reasons to hate.
Yeah, exactly. Really don't let that go. Absolutely.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.